were for naught? What if we realize at the end of our lives that we never fulfilled the purpose for which we were created? I think that would be a sad day. But sadly, every day, office workers and managers, students, housewives, Christians are spending untold amount of hours, spending thousands of dollars in busy activities that I think have very little to do with the purpose for which we were created. Today, God has a word to help you and me find the reason why we were born. The reason why you were created. Today God has a word for me and maybe for someone out here to find the Lord's purpose for you. Anybody want to hear the word of God today? Anybody? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I am ready to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, you know, sometimes we pray this. I don't want to get into a habit of just praying it, but why we pray that is we're creating this empty space for God to fill with Himself. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so full of myself, full of my thoughts, full of my plans. I gotta get ready for what's happening after this service, and thinking about all these things, and I need to empty out some of that stuff to let God in here. That's why we pray that. But if you prayed that, or if you want to go on, open your Bibles now to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It's right after the book of Psalms. I used to have an old King James Bible, you know, no indexes, very little other things beside the Bible itself. How do you find the book of Psalms? Just open it right to the middle. Right in the middle. And then after Psalms, you just scroll down to Proverbs. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. As Christina read so beautifully earlier, I'm going to read now from the older version of the New International Version. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. This is a short one, guys. If you can look at the screen, if you have a different translation, let's read it all together. Ready? Go. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is that prevails. Underline three words in that verse. The Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose. Here, what I think God is saying is it's the Lord's purpose, not man's plans, that will prevail. So, if you want to prevail, if you want to succeed in life, if you want to go up and not down, then it's imperative that you find the Lord's purpose. See, too often, I think we settle for busyness and think we've accomplished something. We adopt the best laid human plans. We get into lots of activity. But actually, it takes us nowhere closer to what God wants us to do. Consider these statistics from Inc. magazine, INC. Maybe it'll ring a bell with some of you. There are 25 million meetings per day in the United States. Do you know that? 25 million meetings per day in the United States. And more than $37 billion per year is spent on unproductive meetings. $37 billion. They could give that to the church. 15% of an organization's collective time is spent in meetings. 15%. And this is the last one. Get this, guys. Most meetings are unproductive. In fact, executives consider more than 67% of meetings a failure. That's 2 out of every 3 meetings, guys. Anybody can relate to that? Anybody can relate? Some of you had a meeting yesterday with me. You should be able to raise your hand on that one. The late businessman philosopher Jim Rohn said, "Don't spend most of your time on the voices that don't count. Voices that are going to add too little worth to your future. Don't waste time on the shallow and the silly. Tune those voices out and tune in voices that are going to add something to your life." You know, Jim has a great comment there, Jim Rohn. But if we look at the statistics on meetings, we can see maybe we're not listening to the right voices here. Maybe 67% of the time. So we want to know the purposes for our life. We want to know what our destiny should be. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we tune out the bad voices and tune into the good? How do we discover the reason why we were created? How do we find the Lord's purpose for you? I believe that the answer lies in 3 words. 3 clues that I call God's GPS. So if you have a paper or something to write on, just kind of like write 3 letters in vertical order. GPS. Okay? And then we'll fill in the blanks as we go along. GPS. If you can catch these 3 words, I believe you will be on your way towards your destiny in life. The first word that we need to know to find the Lord's purpose is gifts. Know your gifts. I'm not talking about Christmas gifts. I'm not talking about things that are wrapped real nice. Some of you know this, but I'll explain it again. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, God comes into you through this Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives each one of us Christians at least 1 spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. What are these gifts? Well, the main passages that talk about spiritual gifts are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. For example, Romans 12 says these are some of the gifts that we get. Prophecy, serving, teaching, that's a gift. Encouraging. You know, some people are so good at encouraging. Man, I love those guys. I want them always by me. Contributing to the needs of others. Leadership is a gift. Showing mercy is a gift. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. These are some other gifts that are not mentioned in Romans. Wisdom is a gift. Knowledge. Faith. Healing. Miraculous powers. Oh, those are fun to watch. Distinguishing between spirits. Tongues is a gift. And the interpretation of tongues is another gift. And finally, Ephesians 4 says, apostle is a gift. Evangelist is a gift. Pastor is a gift. Teacher is a gift. And there's a few other passages scattered throughout the rest of the New Testament that talk about other gifts. And there may be a few other gifts that are not mentioned in the Bible. But the main thing you have to know is each one of us as Christians have at least 1 of these gifts or something else, maybe even better. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 kind of ties it all together. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I wonder how many of us have a gift that we kind of keep hidden. You know, we're Chinese and we're kind of shy. We don't like to use it too much. And we kind of bury it under the ground and take it all the way to our grave. Unused, unopened. You know, how many people have given a gift to someone last Christmas? Anybody? Just about all of you? Okay. Let's say you gave a gift to me, okay? So it's like, oh, Pastor Dave, gotta give him the best stuff, okay? So you spend like hours at the mall looking through all the stores. Oh, what's the best thing for Pastor Dave? Okay. Or you find something beautiful and you get it wrapped up real nice, costs you an extra $10 just to wrap it. And you give it to me, okay? And I say, okay, thank you. And that's it, okay? About 8 months later, you come to my office and you see this pile of junk on my table, you know, like old papers, you know, dirty boxes of food from what is that restaurant? Mackey's, yeah, all these stained boxes of food. And then underneath you see something like this thing wrapped under all that junk in my office. And you say, that looks like the gift I gave you. You don't say it because it's, you know, you're Chinese. He's like, you kind of look and it is the gift I gave. And it's still unopened in the same box under all that pile of junk. Now, what would you think about me after that? Would you give me another good gift? Probably not. And I don't blame you. So I better open those gifts right now. I better go back to my office. I wonder if God feels the same way when he looks at us. Dave, I gave you that gift. What did you do with it? Did you even use it? Did you even open it? Even try to express it to the world? I want us to make it a point to find out what your gift is. It might be on that list that we went through earlier. It might be something else. So the question comes up a lot. I hear this a lot anyway. How do you find your spiritual gifts? Yeah. How do you find your gifts? There are spiritual gift tests that you can take. I took a couple in my life. It helps a little bit. Frankly, I don't think it helped too much though for me. So you can take it. It might help you. But this is my suggestion. If you don't know what your gifts are, try it. Try something. Try it. You think you're gifted in technology. Go see Nishant right now and Sharon in the back. Ask them, can I kind of watch what you guys do on the AV team? I'd like to kind of see if I can join you and help out. Maybe you're gifted in singing, like these women who sang so beautifully this morning. I am not. So, but I wish I was. But maybe you are. So go talk to them. Talk to one of the singers and musicians and see, hey, could I kind of like sit in and maybe sing with you sometimes? Try it. And if you're not gifted in that, maybe try something else. So try. Believe it or not, I do have some experience preaching. You might not think so. But you know how this started? I just tried it. And I was at this church that basically anybody could preach. They let anybody preach. They're looking for people. So I was just a student. I was brand new Christian, in fact. And I was attending graduate school in economics in Japan. And the church said, hey, you know, you want to preach, Dave? Okay, I'll try. And I tried, and I was so nervous, and I still am nervous sometimes, but that was my start. And, you know, if you're somewhat gifted in it, you might hear comments from solid Christians that to affirm that. If you're not, listen to people's comments, and maybe that's not your gift. But try something. Try it. Trial and error, and you'll find your gift It's my suggestion. And if you want to, I have a spiritual gift test that I know about online that's free. So let me know if you want to try that. But your gifts are a big clue to finding out the Lord's purpose for you. The Lord's purpose for you. Second, the second word, remember G and this P, is your passion. Your passion. Now, I'm not talking about evil lust passion. I'm talking about the joy of doing what you were created to do. Anybody have the experience when you find what, man, it's like, oh! Years ago, I was wondering what to do in my life. I was thinking about becoming an international economist, a banker. And a pastor mentioned to me, hey, Dave, have you ever thought of becoming a pastor? And I told him the truth. No way. I've never thought of becoming a pastor. That's like weird. You know, like, but the moment he said that, something in my heart went bing. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, when you find your passion, when you find your joy in what you're doing, you won't burn out. You'll enjoy your work. And it's likely that you will do a very good job at it. Why? Because you're passionate about it. You're passionate. You know, I admire a few people from the past, and I have to watch out because I admire it to the point of sometimes idolatry. So I got to be careful. You guys keep me accountable, okay? One of the men I admire is Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison. In his 84 years, Thomas Edison patented over 1,000 inventions. He is most famous for inventing the light bulb, but actually, Thomas Edison made more money by his invention of the alkaline battery. For example, did you know, before Thomas Edison successfully invented the alkaline battery, he failed 9,000 times. Failed 9,000 times. After I failed like one, two times, I give up, man. This guy kept going. Did you know that Thomas Edison, on his 80th birthday, announced the formation of a new company to research and develop rubber? Man, we retire. What's retirement age now? 65? Is it 65 still? I don't even know. Yeah, okay. So, you know, if it was us, we'd be long gone from the workplace already. And we wouldn't have rubber today. You know, so Thomas Edison kept going. He was passionate. Why? Why did he do that? Jim Wilson writes, the key to Edison's success was his passion to invent. Some of you have a passion to invent. Some of you have a passion for music. Some of you have a passion for something in your life. You gotta find it. Because, continue the quote from Jim Wilson, great people have passion. They are not always the strongest or the brightest of their peers, but they consistently outperform them. Passion leads people to places they wouldn't ordinarily go, to accomplish things ordinary people won't. Passion does not necessarily lead people into comfort, but it does drive them to seize their destiny. Oh man. You and I have only one life to live. We won't be reincarnated, guys. It doesn't work. You won't become like a bug or a tree or something. Sorry to say that, if you're kind of waiting for that. But you only have one life to live. So live it doing what you're passionate about. You know, our young people in our church, you can see some of them right there. I'm going to talk about you young people. Our young people are so full of creativity and energy. Except when I'm preaching. I'm just kidding, guys. But they have so much creativity, energy, life. And that needs to be expressed for Jesus. So Melanie Chan and my wife Naro, they helped organize this dance team. Anita helped. And really what they were doing was they were releasing these young people to do what God created them to do. And the result, some of you saw it on Easter Sunday. Man, amazing. Just amazing. And what we're just letting people do is just minister in the area of their passion. Now, older people, listen. What the dance team did, matching their passions to their ministry, you and I can do in our careers. So if you can, find a job, find a ministry, find something in your life that matches your passions and your gifts, and you usually have a great life. Try to find that. Find something that you're passionate about and you're gifted in. But the third and final word that we want to talk about today, remember, first is G, gifts, P, passions, and S is your situation. Your situation. Acts 17, verses 26 to 27 says, "From one man he made every nation of men," that's God made, "that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." 27, I'll go on. "God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." This is one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. God's saying, I put you in this exact place, in this exact time, 2019, not 1819, not 2290, right now. Because I have a plan for you. You are not here by accident. God knew your time and your place. He put you here for a purpose, that you might find him. And when you find him and his purposes, you will also find yours. Pretty good. So, yeah. I got to make these things clear. If you find your gifts, you're on your way to finding your purpose for life. Your gifts. What are you good at? It could be something that you're born with. More likely, it's something that God gave you when you became a Christian. You're suddenly, I was so shy before I was a Christian. I had to take a speech class in high school and college. Man. But when I became a Christian, God gave me this extra power to do what I cannot do on my own. He will do the same for you in some area of your life. So find your gifts, and it will direct you towards your purpose in life. Second, find your passions. What are you excited about doing? You might be good at something, but you're not that passionate about it. I tell people all the time, if I could be anything in the world, I'll be a worship leader like Sharon, like one of you. Because I would just love to rock out and sing to Jesus and lead people in the Lord's presence. But God did not gift me in that area. I'm passionate about it, but it's like my gifting is not there. But so you got to figure out what you're passionate about also. And if it matches your gifting, it's likely that's God's call for your life. But there's a third thing, and that's the situation that God puts you in. the situation? How can you find the Lord's purpose in your situation? Some of you know the author and Reverend Norman Vincent Peale. Anybody know that guy? Some of you know? Okay. You got to read this guy. Tom and I are the only well-read people in the audience here.
No, it's because he's really old.
Yeah, that's another way of saying it, yes. But if you want motivational stuff that's Christian, read this guy, Norman Vincent Peale. Incredible. You'll be flying after you read a page of his stuff. But his wife, Ruth Peale, once said, in whatever situation you find yourself, and this is what she said, find a need and fill it. That was what she said. It's been credited to other people, but she's the one who first said it. In whatever situation you find yourself, find a need and fill it. Pretty simple way of living. In fact, that's what Jesus said, actually. The Bible says about Jesus, you got it? In Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around, what? Doing good. And healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Friends, if you are a Christian, believe it or not, you got to believe it. God is with you. God is with you. So as you're walking around, as you're looking at your family, as you're looking at your neighborhood, even as you look at your church, ask yourself, how can I find the Lord's purpose where I am? How can I find the Lord's purpose in my company? How can I find the Lord's purpose in my school? How can I find the Lord's purpose in my situation? Find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it. No matter what your situation is, there's probably a need there somewhere. So do something good in that situation. Make someone smile. Help someone somewhere. Right here at San Gabriel Valley Alliance Church, there are incredible opportunities to set up microphones on Sunday morning, to brew coffee. Man, you get to smell that aroma. I would pay for that aroma, man. You get it free. There are opportunities to put away chairs. There are opportunities to help host a small group. There are opportunities to cook for Pastor Dave a gourmet meal. I mean, just sign up. There are opportunities, guys. But, you know, sometimes we look at things and say, oh, this guy's so junk. He says, oh, so nothing here. But God's telling us, maybe you better reorient our thinking and say, what can I do to help make this better? What can I do to help fill a need? Because, guys, if every one of us in this room just did one thing in this church, just one thing, we'd be outstanding in this area. You know, lots of times we think, you know, I'm not gifted. I go to church because they got air conditioning in the summer, so something like that. And we don't step in because, oh, you know, somebody else is so good at that. The singers are so good, they don't want me. They got enough AV people. That pastor's a knucklehead, they don't want any kind of excuse, and we don't step up. But you know what my definition of a healthy church is? My definition of healthy. A healthy church is not a church where a few people do everything. A healthy church is a church where everybody does at least one thing and does it very well, because they're ministering in their gifts and their passions. Your situation may be different than mine, but you have needs around you. Listen to this story about a woman who had a situation that most of us might consider bad and might be stuck in the rest of our lives. Because your situation may include, like this woman, bad acne. Bad acne. Yeah. Daisy Jing had a problem, and she says, I had bad acne and did everything to help clear it up. I reviewed and tried hundreds of different beauty products, and then I started sharing it on social media. She continues her quote, I developed a following of over 50 million views on YouTube and became a trusted source of information. At that time, I was able to make my own natural skincare line. Eventually, my followers saw great results on my skin and encouraged me to launch my own business. Isn't that great? I mean, most of us would see the acne and say, oh, I'm just going to hide in my room. I'm not going to ever do anything ever again. But Daisy Jing saw an opportunity in her situation. And it led to a business. That kind of opportunity, that kind of possibility is open to each one of us. But you have to ask in your situation, what is God's purpose for me? What is God trying to teach me? What does God want me to do? What is God's reason for me living right here and right now? If you ask that, God will answer. So know your gifts, know your passions, and know your situation. I'll share one last thing about situation, guys. Situation may call for you to step up into things that you normally don't like to do. Maybe you're not even gifted in. One of the churches that I used to learn from in Hawaii mentioned one of the biggest needs in most churches is to keep the toilets clean on Sunday. Because, you know, most weekdays of the week, we don't have much use here, actually. But Sunday, we had like tons of people using a toilet and almost nobody to clean it up. And the pastor would tell us, the pathway to the top goes through the servant's entrance. And so the biggest need that you may have in this church is cleaning toilets, picking up papers on the ground, keeping the campus nice. Would you do that, church? Would you step up? Whatever is needed. And if you can match your gifting and your passion, if you're passionate about cleaning toilets, great, do it forever. But it might just be a step along the way towards finding your calling and your purpose in life. But the pathway to the top goes through the servant's entrance. Find your gifts. Find your passion. And understand your situation. And you will find the Lord's purpose for you. As we exit this room at the end of this service, there's going to be some papers on the table in the lobby. And we did this last year, but I want to encourage each one of us to write your name on that paper. It's called Get in the Game. Get in the Game. And write your name and just circle one ministry or activity that you are interested in. You're not committing to anything. We just want to find out where your heart is, what you're gifted in or you're excited about. If it's not on that paper, just write in what you are gifted in or passionate about. And we'll try to create something for you to be a part of. You know, I used to be shy about asking people to sign up or volunteer. I'm no longer shy about that. You know why? Because unless I give you an opportunity to minister, you will never fulfill your calling in life. You will take your gifts to the grave. And when that happens, God will hold me accountable. Say, Dave, did you give them an opportunity to So I don't want to do that. But you need to minister. Find your gifts. Try it. If you're, you want to try singing, we want you to try out. If you want to, if you, you think that's not right, you try it a couple of weeks and try something else. Keep trying, guys. And you will find your gifts, your passion, and how it meets a need in our situation. And you will find the Lord's purpose for you. Okay. I will share these three people and see if you can be relate to them. Many years ago, there was a man named Abraham. And Abraham found the Lord's purpose. And you know what happened? He became the father of many. Moses. Moses found the Lord's purpose. And he left the desert and boldly approached the most powerful man in the world, the Pharaoh, without any fear. And Peter found the Lord's purpose. And he gave up fishing to start winning souls. Which one of us will be next? Which one of us? May you and I be the next to start living your destiny. May you be the next to find your GPS. May you be the next to be with God and prevail. May you and I be the next in line to find the Lord's purpose for you. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you give us a simple way of finding our purpose in life. And much like a car's navigation system, help us, Lord, to rely on this system. Really, on your Spirit that guides us into our gifting, our passions, and to meet a need in our situation. Lord, help each one of us find that, so that when we stand before you someday, you will say to you and you and you, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little. I will put you in charge of much. Lord, we receive that by faith, and we claim it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.